Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, a weekly entertainment podcast that covers film and television. And guess what? This is a mini-sode, I think. We're going to talk...
It's something.
I mean, we've got basically two things we're talking about. One, DC Fandome. That was a really cool event. We're going to talk about some of the highlights there, including Vengeance. And then we're going to take everybody on a little trip back to the movies. Okay? That's it. Let's get into the show. My name is Aaron Peterson. I am your host, joined by my fellow host, Amanda Sink.
Hello, hello. We're back.
We kind of.
Some stuff.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. It's basically, this is a condensed version. We weren't going to do an episode this week. We were going to skip. But since we were able to go back to the theaters, we figured we would talk about it a little bit because people are both excited and other people are trepidatious. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think there's a good mix of both based on what people's comfort level is, and I think it's important that we share our experiences, and also maybe we just wanted to hear ourselves talk about the movies again. I don't know.
Yeah, and it was really hard because, like, near the end of the movie, everybody was trying to chase around that monkey because we were so afraid that things were going to get crazy. Nothing?
All right. I have no idea what you're talking about.
It was an outbreak joke that landed with a thud. With a kaput. Kaput, as they say. Well, before we get to the actual movies, which I can't believe I went into a theater.
It was really exciting, right?
Right. Oh, hold those thoughts. Okay. We've got this DC Fandome event. And I gotta say, I mean, you know, there have been a lot of conventions that have gone the virtual route as of late that were not very exciting. And I mean, they did their best. They're trying to do the best they can, but they just really weren't that exciting. Then comes along the Fandome. And I have to say, I was pretty enthralled with a lot of what they showed.
I was impressed. I think they did a nice job of handling the interaction, because that's the biggest thing we're missing here, right? When we have an online event, mm-hmm. is you're missing that interaction between the people who really care about it and the people that are presenting. And I liked the way that they introduced a combination of questions and video questions from the community. Like, just people from all over the world who care about the fandom and want to know more. And they got to have a little bit of a spotlight moment and mm-hmm. learn something about the film or the project.
Properties.
Or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah. And at the same time, then we get more information. So it's way more exciting when we're not just listening to somebody lecture for 30 minutes.
Or a poorly organized panel where everything is just chaotic. It's just like, what? Who's talking? Why? You guys are doing too many in-jokes and they can't hear the audience reaction to know that it's not working, which is...
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Well, and that's really hard too. I mean, if you think about it as a presenter, a lot of these people are so used to having that reaction to their jokes or having mm-hmm. the eye contact and seeing the body language of the people in front of them or the people next to them, whatever it is, versus everybody is so worried about, you know, if it's a panel talking over each other or, you know, did my joke land about monkeys or not?
Ouch.
You don't know if people aren't there.
It's a little sharp. I was a little...
Yeah.
But sorry. See, you called me out. You said, oh, I didn't even get that. And the people in the panels don't want to do that, apparently, because they don't want to make them feel bad. That's totally what we would do. Just be like, what was that? Why are you still talking? There's a reason why John's not here, you know?
Oh, I knew that was going to happen.
Oh, that joke landed. That was beautiful.
That one was a good one.
That was a gem. If you didn't know what DC Fandom, we're talking about it, you might not even know what it is. But it's basically an organization. It was a convention of sorts that was put on.
I was going to say, they're not.
Yeah, they're not affiliated with anybody. They put it on for 24 hours only where it was online, and they presented from DC Comics /film/whatever that they presented all of their DC properties and what's coming up and what they're doing and kind of gave you some hints as to what it was all about. And that's what we got.
Teasers, some trailers.
Oh, man. Or hell of a... The biggest one we'll talk about last, but a little taste of the Pattinson, if you will.
Yeah. The Pattinson.
The... little taste of the Pattinson. There we go. Not a twinkle to be found. But we're going to go through and kind of, I'm just going to read up. You tell me if any of these things really stood out to you of some of the big announcements. John Ridley, who wrote 12 Years a Slave, is going to write a new Batman comic book series that debuts in January 2021, I believe. It's a 4-issue run that will focus on Lucius Fox's family.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's very
and interesting. I like giving somebody an opportunity who, I'm not totally familiar, but I don't think he's done a whole lot of comic work or any.
Not
so I always like when they, you know, they introduce that and allow somebody new to kind of get into that.
Absolutely. And I believe he's gonna shake it up. He might feature Batman as a person of color, so there might be some interesting updates in that one. Neil Gaiman gave an update on Netflix's Sandman series, said it will depart from the comics and it takes place in the present day, in case you're wondering about Sandman.
Weird.
It is weird, but...
Present day is not ideal.
Not necessarily, but I think it could work, and he's a really sharp guy. I think he'll find a way to make it work.
Can we backtrack a few years before things got super wild?
Make sure it's 2019 modern day or 2022.
Yeah.
We're not really sure about 2021 just yet. The electric teen superhero Static Shock is heading to the big screen. Filmmaker Reginald Hudlin revealed during a panel there are serious discussions to give the hero a theatrical feature. So that would be interesting. I don't really know the character that much, but he's, you know, he's staticky.
I don't know either. And I feel like this is where John would be really, really useful to just insert some
absolutely
back knowledge.
If he would have made an effort
time
to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we
probably. No, we're not important. It's fine. It's cool.
He's enjoying the week off. So we're just giving him grief. And his theaters weren't open. So he couldn't actually go to a theater and partake in the enjoyment.
Honestly, he probably shouldn't. It's Florida. Like everything there, the whole state is a petri dish.
I've talked to several people in Florida that went to the theater. They had the same experience as we did. So theaters.
Well, that's good.
Which we're not. You know what? I'm not going to spoil it. I'm not going to tell you what our experiences are yet. You gotta hang tight. Ezra Miller's solo Flash movie is still being kept under wraps. And I want to point this out. Like, so far under wraps, they haven't even actually said Ezra Miller in the Flash. We're just assuming it's still Ezra Miller. So I don't know about that. But they have, you know, director Andy Muschietti and writer Christina Hodson talked about what they're going to do. And it's a very time-traveling aspect that's going to spawn the DC multiverse. And we know that it's going to really expand the multiverse because you've got Michael Keaton as Batman is going to be in the film, and Ben Affleck was recently confirmed as Batman for the film.
What?
Which is a huge thing because Affleck said he was done. So the fact that he came back is great.
More Bat package!
You really have an obsession with
Batfleck.
Yeah. The Shazam sequel, we didn't get much about it, but we do know the title is Shazam Fury of the Gods.
I think that's a good title. I like it. I mean, I'm already 100% invested because I loved the first one, but
I'm still just really hooked on the title they were going with, which is Shazam with 2 exclamation points. I just thought that was really clever. I'm like, that's really cool marketing. I like that.
I didn't know that. That's kind of cool.
It was very well. Actually, I mentioned it, I think, on the last podcast, but that's cool. I mean, I wouldn't listen to me.
Oh, well,
either.
Then I guess I don't listen to you enough. But yeah, that would have been really cool. And then, like, if there's a third, they just use 3 exclamation points, and eventually, it's just like a 14-year-old girl sending a message to her friend where the boy just told her that he likes her.
And I like you too. Bing, 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 bing. 2 games were announced. One was from the developers of Arkham Asylum.
Oh, yeah.
Gotham Knights. Gotham Knights is one of them. And the other one is the
Suicide Squad.
Yeah, the follow-up from Rocksteady. It's the Suicide Squad. And I do want to say, you know, here's my downside with whenever you get a game trailer to get excited about. If you don't see gameplay, I have a hard time getting excited about it. And there's a lot of not gameplay. There's a lot of, wow, yeah, what a cinematic trailer. Well, you can always make those look great. Show me what the game is. That's what I care about if I'm going to play it.
There is a lot of character building, though, like personality, mm-hmm, I should say, that I think a lot of games can be very hit or miss about, where it's so much about the story that they don't focus on the very specific nuances of the character. And at least what we're seeing in the Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League trailer, I'm feeling that part of it. So I get where you're coming from as a gamer, as somebody who, cares about the characters, I guess, more than the actual game. I'm weird that way. I got excited from just seeing the characters interacting and their mannerisms and the look of it and things like that.
Hey, whatever gets you. I'm just talking about for me personally.
Yeah.
But
well, you're like a real gamer, so.
I don't know about that. I mean, I'm far removed from a real gamer. I play fairly occasionally. So I'm just enough to know what it is and just enough to not be an addict. You know, I'm somewhere in that range.
There you go. That's healthy.
But some cool little tidbits is the Suicide Squad, I think, is going to, it looks like it could be very fun because you're going to get Harley Quinn, Captain Boomerang, King Shark, Deadshot, all of these guys hunting down the Justice League, which I think that's kind of funny. And then you have Gotham Knights, which is going to have Robin, Batgirl, Nightwing, and Red Hood. Because Batman's mm-hmm. dead in this game, and they're going to go after Mr. Freeze and the Court of Owls, which is a really cool added because a lot of Batman fans have been wanting that in the movies for a long time. So I'm glad we're getting it in some form.
And did you feel like you understood? Because I watched the trailer for the game and everything, but I don't feel like I fully understood. Do you get to choose when you swap to the characters, or do they have their own story? Because you do get to play them. I'm just not sure in what capacity.
I don't think they really explained how that I saw. Okay. Doesn't mean that they didn't. Okay. Just means I wasn't really paying. I was more worried about the movies, Amanda. That's what.
I mean, me too. You know? I'm just curious. It looked really cool, though. And these trailers, video game trailers, are starting to look like
movies.
They do have almost a better job sometimes than some of the movie trailers.
I would agree with that. We've got a cooler Suicide Squad thing coming up, though, so hang tight.
Yes,
Black Adam, Dwayne Johnson, a.k.a. The Rock, but I don't know if he's always going by The Rock, but he always goes by The Rock, so we'll just call him The Rock. He's debuting as the anti-hero Black Adam, and he'll face some serious opponents in the upcoming film. The movie is going to have him going against the Justice Society of America, who's made up by Hawkman, Dr. Fate, Cyclone, and Atom Smasher.
Yeah, that's going to be cool to see him. He's got a really cool personality where I feel like he could be dark and grueling, but also keep up the energy, which is a good blend I'm finding DC might have found their sweet spot for.
I'll be honest, man. I was more, and by the way, Amanda's verdict of this entire panel is cool. I've decided because I think everything like
I that was cool. happy with that would be like cool. everything. Cool. Yeah,
I just mean it's your favorite word for this panel.
Bro. Oh, have I said it a lot?
I stopped.
Drink
count.
Every time I say the word cool.
Yes, go back, start over. Shot. I love The Rock. I don't think The Rock has tons of range, but I love The Rock. And he has a charisma for days, so I have no doubt Black Adam will be a pretty, pretty cool movie. I did it. But you don't have to, don't drink for me, though. Only when Amanda does it. So the Suicide Squad, wow. James Gunn has employed every actor working in Hollywood for this film. Because there were two videos for this one. There was two-minute videos. One highlighted every actor and the character they're playing. And there are a lot of actors and a lot of characters. There's like Polka Dot Man. There's all these King Shark. There's a lot of characters in the Suicide Squad movie. I'm guessing a lot of them are probably going to die pretty quick. And then they showed not so much a trailer, but kind of 2 minutes of making of the movie, which I got so much of a feel for. This is going to be the Suicide Squad we should have gotten the first time.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, how did you feel like when you saw the, especially the reveal of the shooting? Because that was really where you got some details of the shoot.
Oh, it was so cool. No, I'm just kidding. No, I think whenever I can see kind of the behind the scenes making of something, I automatically get a little bit more excited just because I really feel passion before seeing the whole movie. And I feel like this is really... I think he got into the right mindset finally because I when I saw the first one, I was a little hit or miss on certain parts of it. Overall, you know, liked it, but wasn't enthused with what I had. I wasn't disappointed, but I also wasn't surprised with joy and excitement. But I feel like now we're getting something that we should have gotten, like you said, the first time. And overall, I feel like mostly everything from the panel, you talked about how much I think everything is cool. I feel like DC finally found their footing. I feel like they really found the balance that they've been missing. and who they want to be, like their own identity. And I'm starting to feel like they actually had it here from this panel. That's what my biggest takeaway was.
Yeah, me too. And I mean, and Idris Elba even seemed excited, which he's normally very, you know, he's just Idris Elba. He's just always, you know, looking stoic.
Cool accent.
Yeah, very cool.
But, drink.
But here he was giggly. He was upbeat. He was just excited to play Bloodsport. I'm just stoked for this movie. James Gunn is a director who belongs in these kinds of interconnected family, dysfunctional family dynamic kind of movies. And I can't wait to see what he does with this one. And what we saw was pretty tasty. Speaking of amazing, Wonder Woman 1984, I think everybody's already excited for it, but they really gave a much more advanced look at the film, and still pretty excited for Wonder Woman. I really can't wait for part two. And we got a little bigger shots of Cheetah, which looked great until the CGI cheetahs.
Yeah, that part was a little unsettling because it felt super forced and fake. I mean, everything, I understand that this is a movie, so it's not real. Trust me, I get it.
What?
But I want to feel not taken back when I'm seeing something. And that part was a little bit like, what happened? What happened here? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was just looked a little off-putting.
Looked a little Steppenwolf.
She just, like, she seemed uncomfortable also. So I don't know.
We'll see. It looks great, though. The movie itself, I think, will be great. Chris Pine.
How is Gal going to let us down? She's not.
I got two trailers with her, and I was just like, I love you. I want to marry you. She's adorable. Speaking of, this is the one trailer. Let's talk about the other trailer. And these are the two trailers that really caught the internet by storm. One was the Justice League Snyder Cut. Which,
hell yeah!
First, I want to point out, if you're watching it going, why is it in that aspect ratio? That's just weird where you have the black bars on the sides. Yeah, that's the intention, is to bring it to HBO Max in 2021 in that ratio, because Zack Snyder shot it in IMAX, for IMAX. So he wants to present it the same way. Now, do I agree with it? I don't know. I mean, you wanted Zack Snyder's cut. That's Zack Snyder's cut. So I feel like We're just like we weren't accustomed to widescreen at one point, and people used to bitch about those bars on the top and bottom. It's just a different way to look at it.
Yeah, it's not going to be the same experience as if you were seeing it in the movie theater, no matter what kind of TV you have at home.
True.
But you're at least getting to see the content and the look and the differences of what he had envisioned prior to the horrific happenings in his life that took him away from this project.
Right.
So I think as long as we're able to still, I don't think he would put it out there if it looked awful on like a regular TV. So it's of course not going to be the same experience as if we were to see it in IMAX, but you know, we're still getting what we asked for. And not very often do fans really get to pull something like this. And I understand it was also him being connected and him wanting to bring this out. But I think fans requesting it had a lot to do with it. And seldomly do we really get everything we want in a positive way.
No, and I know some people didn't like the way some fans handled it. I mean, I get that. I'm sure there are some unruly fans out there in every fan base. But it's still pretty exciting.
Star Wars.
Yeah, right? Boy.
Weird. That's in my throat.
Yeah. Jeez. Those guys are still mad about everything.
Everything?
Really, yeah, everything. But I think this is pretty cool that the director got to, you know, he had a very, very hard personal tragedy, which we're not going to go into. You can Google that if you want to know more about it. But he was able to restore the vision that he wanted, and actually even better, because he never would have got a 4-hour cut of his original movie. And they're giving him 4 hours. It's going to be on HBO Max. It's going to be told as 1-hour episodes. And then he's going to put it together as one long ass movie. If you want to watch it Lord of the Rings style. But my question to you, Amanda, is those are the details, but now you saw the trailer. What did you think of the movie? Like, if you're looking at it as fresh of eyes as you can muster, were you stoked for the movie?
Oh, here's the good thing for me, because my memory is such shit. I get to experience everything like it's brand new almost all of the time. So for me, I was like, I forgot most of Justice League, like specifics. I remember overall liking it, but I didn't remember much of it. And I started to remember as I watched part of this, but I loved this trailer. The way that the characters looked, I mean, even the villain, everything in here just had such a different atmosphere. And the way he conveyed his vision, and I trust me, I love Joss Whedon. I do. I really, really do. Buffy is probably my favorite thing that's ever existed. Gotta love Firefly, et cetera, et cetera. But I feel like it really, Snyder's vision was so much more in line with what this should have been. So I was like giddy when I saw this trailer. I was like... Yay! It is what I was hoping for. You know, you get all of this excitement and hype around it, and sometimes that can be really disappointing. And I didn't feel disappointed, at least so far.
No, I mean, that's kind of how I felt. Like, I was a big fan of Justice League. I really was. I thought it was a really fun movie, even though it didn't feel like it was the same kind of movie that the previous Batman vs. Superman was, and I'm talking Ultimate Cut, not the theatrical cut, and Man of Steel. It just didn't feel in the same world in many respects, but this felt like it was part of that world. Now, I know a lot of people aren't a fan of that. That's great. I'm not one of you. I was a big fan of those movies. I loved the dark and dour nature. I loved how a lot of the shots just were filmed so spectacularly. Some of the moments that are just literally recreated from the comic book pages, and how the superheroes are always presented like they are, which are gods, not humans who discovered power, you know, which is one reason why Marvel characters often relate to people is because they're just like your everyday Joe who becomes a superhero. These are freaking gods, and they were presented like that. And I absolutely love that power and depth and weight, even when it didn't necessarily work, like the Martha scene. You know, I can admit its faults. So I'm looking forward to see. It feels like a whole new movie of a movie I've seen, but I really haven't seen.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
You know, it's because I do believe the account I saw was that what you saw in the Justice League movie was only 10% of what Zack Snyder shot, because they reshot for 55 days and basically just made it Joss Whedon's movie. This mm-hmm. is going to be Snyder's full vision. Now, will it be too much? And we're like, why the hell was that thing 4 hours long? Yeah, probably. But I'm looking forward to it. Everything I saw here got me excited.
And Steppenwolf looked scarier, and that's what I wanted from that villain.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I didn't feel that in the original.
No, you don't want Steppenwolf to look like Cheetah. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
right.
Sorry. All right. Well, that's coming in 2021. That'll be interesting. But here's the big drum roll on my cheap table here. The Batman. I couldn't believe we actually got a trailer. I mean, it's a teaser trailer. They've only shot like 25% of the movie, but it almost looked like a finished freaking trailer, man.
It did, yeah.
And you got a good look at what they're going for. It feels very much centered around a detective story, which is what Matt Reeves promised anyway.
It's great, yeah.
You got Colin Farrell in some stunning makeup as the Penguin.
Holy crap, I had no idea that was him until after.
Oh, my God.
I would have never imagined that was him.
It's the first time that dude has his eyebrows plucked in years.
<You're> so mean.
But we got our first look at the Pattinson, as you like to call him. So what did you think? You're a huge Batman fan. It's like one of your favorite franchises in the world. What did you think of this new iteration of Batman?
Yeah, let's also start with what I felt prior to the trailer and what I was anticipating, because I was not on board with Robert Pattinson. And I know that, and I'm not saying this because I think of him as the Twilight guy. That's not the case. I know he's a talented actor. I know that he's done some great stuff. Granted, I have not watched all of it. I get that. But he still does not represent... prior to the trailer, again, this is what I'm talking about, he still did not represent Batman to me. I did not think pasty, skinny, lanky dude was going to represent this super powerful vigilante. And when I watched this trailer, especially after Ben Affleck, who did a wonderful job in that role, and somehow when I watched this trailer, I felt alive watching it. I felt like he really took that character and made it his own. And the story, you know, compounded with that is fantastic because it's much more what we want. It's not just the same Batman story told over and over again. Mm-hmm. It's much more about solving this. And obviously we're getting Riddler and that's super cool. And drink and...
Now you're doing it on purpose. I love it.
Yeah, I've been doing it on purpose for a while, but let's see who gets too drunk. And I was just really impressed. And I'm not saying he looks like Robert Pattinson. He doesn't look different than himself, but he owned it. There was a level of confidence. The I'm Vengeance scene where he's like, I'm Vengeance was like,
where she's like beating that dude up Arkham City style.
He's heck just like, yeah.
I'm like, that's a combo move. I know that move.
Right? Like, and it's, this is the Batman that I want to see. I want to see a Batman that, I mean, just really, I hate that there's this concept that Batman shouldn't beat people up. Like, and he shouldn't
kill people is what a lot of people think, yeah.
Right. But I mean, if you go back to the source of the property, that's not exactly true. So like, we're finally getting an iteration that shows that and also ties in the detective piece. So this looks good to me. And I don't know why this was such a really important aspect to me, but I loved the opening and closing of the title, short title sequence where, you know, it opens up with the duct tape and the DC logo, and it closes with the Batman, and it starts to close in. Mm. It's just like red, and it closes in on the lettering to show the Batman. And I was just, that looks great. They really found a nice combination of being really dark, very dark, but being fun and intriguing and having some level of action from what we can see so far.
Yeah, and I mean, there are definitely echoes to Nolan's films here. I mean, it seemed very grounded in the same kind of way that Nolan's films were, and less cinematic as the Snyder version was, right? It just feels like it's more leaning more toward the Nolan lens than the Snyder lens in that respect. But I don't know what it was. I mean, I don't know why, but there's just something about the performances and the way that the trailer was presenting whatever it is that they've shot, and you get the feeling that Riddler is going to be an important part. There's something about it that really became hypnotic in a way. And I wasn't surprised about Pattinson because I've seen him in other things. And if you've seen Good Time, you know the guy can act. Like, he's legit. He's not just that twinkly bastard from Twilight. You know, he's legit. You know, and I always feel bad for actors like that where they, you know, they take a big break and it basically cements them for the rest of their life, mm-hmm. and they can't do anything else. Well, he found a way to break out of that by taking some chances, and I'm really happy for him.
He kind of followed Daniel Radcliffe's stepping stones, doing those more obscure indie type properties to show, hey, I've got a lot of talent here. I'm not just the guy with sparkles or the guy with, you know, a lightning bolt on my forehead. I'm more than that. And it sucks for them because they really do get stuck in this.
Yeah, it does.
This persona that they're never going to extend beyond for some people.
But I will say, I still like Affleck. I've only seen, 2 minutes of this guy? and even less of that in the Bat costume? I mean, I just love Ben Affleck's Batman. I really do. But this is a different, you know, it's kind of going back to, okay, you know, we're going back to the earlier days of Batman. Of course, I think Matt Reeves or someone said, you know, we're going to find out what makes the Batman the Batman? I'm like, I think we've seen that at least 6 times. So I hope there's more of the detectiving portion. But Pattinson, I think, looks great. And I really like the suit. The suit seems like it's meant for physical fisticuffs.
Exciting. And it was. So Reeves in his panel, in his DC fandom panel, was talking about how the suit was crafted together. And not only did they actually go back to Bale to get some information about, for Pattinson, you know, what should I look for? What should I do? Because Pattinson had some level of creative input on how he wanted this to look and feel because it needed to mesh with him. Mm-hmm. And of course, Bale told him actually that it was really important. He can still go to the bathroom because I don't know that that was something he considered, but the suit was able to be crafted for him. And I felt like I could see that and identify that in the trailer, that this was meant for him.
So there's a zipper is really the important part.
There's something. Yeah. There or like a flap or something. I don't know.
The bat and flap. That's very important. You know, people got to pee, man. Even the Batman has to pee at some point. He can't hold it all night.
Right?
It's just the bat zipper. Well, I think it looks really good. The only real issue I took, and it only really occurred to me because my wife wouldn't stop talking about it, was his hair. She didn't like his hair, which, of course, drew me to his hair. And I'm like, you know what? You're kind of right. It does have that Peter Parker Spider-Man 3 emo feel. Because she's watching the trailer and she's like, you know, it looks like a good movie, but I don't get it. Is he auditioning for a band? Isn't he Bruce Wayne? That's not Bruce Wayne hair. And I find that accurate.
I get where she's coming from.
Funny and accurate.
Yeah, no, she's definitely a funny one. I was not bothered by it, but I get what she's saying. You know, like very suave and clean cut sort of thing versus his kind of like flowy hair. You know, it's a little bit longer.
That and cool not as, crow-esque
yeah,
looking hair.
But I feel like you could also get a really, really cool shot where like he does something awesome and then runs his fingers like through his hair to pull it back or something. I don't know. Maybe that sounds cheesy and I'm stuck in the 80s. I don't know.
Either way, the trailer came off great. The internet loved it. I think we're going to see and hear a lot more about the Batman coming soon. But you know what? Let's talk about the movies we did see. We were only going to keep this at 30 minutes. We're already at 30 minutes. I don't know what the hell we're doing. Let's talk about the movies. Okay. Welcome back to the movies, people. Theaters are opening. AMC theaters, I know, opened 100 locations this past weekend. They're opening 200 more, I think, over the next 2 weeks. A lot of other theaters, Regal and other theaters, are opening as well. Now, keep in mind, it's going to be based on your state. It's based on country. You know, as coronavirus numbers go up and down, states might close it down, they might bring it up, whatever. But it looks like they're trying to keep theaters open. And we ventured out. Amanda and I both saw two movies.
We took our risk.
Each. One old movie each, and then we both saw Unhinged.
Oh, yeah. Yep, we did.
Yeah, but let's talk about the old ones first. So Empire Strikes Back is what I saw. It was a throwback classic. I mean, you can't go wrong with Empire Strikes Back. It was fun to see in a theater. That here in an audience, when Luke and Leia kiss was really fun. There was applause at the beginning. There was applause at the end. There was applause in the cutting the hand off moment, which was weird because I'm like, are you applauding the hand or are you applauding the, because it's iconic. I just don't, it's an odd one, but there was
everything. Everybody's just so excited to see a movie in theaters again.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was fun. So I'm just talking about the movie right now. So you saw Inception in IMAX.
Yes. Dolby.
As your old one. I'm sorry. And Dolby. How was that to see that?
It
one
was
again?
A lot of fun. I remember everything about the film, so it's not that it was kind of reliving it, but man, does it remind me how absolutely brilliant Christopher Nolan is. He has a knack for bending the mind and doing things that are untraditional in terms of the story, and I love it. And Leo, of course, is fantastic. It's a great movie if you have not watched it, and creates quite a debate at the end, you know, with the top spinning, whether it falls or it stays up. You know, there's that debate.
Spoiler alert, our topic next week is going to be vague endings, so don't spoil it for anybody.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll just say I think that the top was still up, and it doesn't mean anything if you haven't watched it or know what it means.
Mm-hmm.
So
it means something to me.
Yeah. So it was really nice to be able to experience that again in theaters for the 10th anniversary. And, you know, it was cool to feel the rumblings in the theater.
Mm. You saw Memento, too, this week. So you've gotten like...
Yeah, doing a little bit of a Nolan refresher, actually, this week. So going through his catalog of films prior to the Tenet early access screening next week.
Mm. So excited.
What?
So excited.
Yes. But I love that movie.
Wasn't it great? Oh, there's another ending which just blows your mind. Wait, what? Which is, you would think wouldn't be possible with a movie that tells you how it ends, right? You wouldn't think that it's possible to surprise you at the end of a movie where you already saw the ending. But it does. It does.
And this was my first time seeing Memento. And I know it's a weird concept that there's somebody in the world who has not seen that movie. And that was me until the other night. Somehow was never the film that we watched through all of my film school classes, which I think is bizarre because it's such a perfect film to recap and break down and understand all of the intricacies and the beauty of it, because it's a quality, excellent film. And I was literally like, what? Wait, what? So.
Well, speaking of what? We also saw Unhinged was the movie we both saw.
Heck yeah.
Which is, were you excited about seeing that one? Or were you just excited to see a new movie before I get into the actual, I'm just kind of curious.
Probably a little bit of both. I'll admit I did not care at all until you and John shared those Twitter things, the little Twitter videos of Russell Crowe trying to get excitement around the premiere. And I was watching them and he's like, I'm a man. It does not matter who I am. And he's got this crazy deep voice and he's somehow brooding and cool and exciting. And I was interested in it because of those stupid little trailers that he has in there where it literally shows the exact same scene, the car just like going around corners and screeching. And I was like, well, maybe I should give it a shot because now I'm somehow excited. I feel like this would be the perfect movie to go back to the theater and just have like a good thriller. And, and it was absolutely perfect. Yeah,
it was. And Russell Crowe plays the man. Literally, that's his character's name, is the man. I think they might mention him.
The cray cray man.
Yeah, just basically cray cray man. And what happens is Karen Pistorius's Rachel is, you know, she's a mom. She's a working mom. She's trying to get her kid to school. And she ends up behind this guy. And this guy's already had a very bad day, which you see at the beginning of the movie. And she does she does some honking at him. She's kind of got a little road rage of her own.
She did wait a little bit, though.
She did. Green light, didn't move, honks at the guy. Who hasn't done that, right? Then the guy pulls up next to her. He's like, hey, roll down your window. Gives her a chance to apologize in his words, not mine. And she does not accept this chance. And the rest of the movie is this crazy son of a bitch basically just ruining her life. And I got to tell you, yeah, plot may be kind of ridiculous. They do a pretty good job of explaining why the movie, the things you would scream as a moviegoer, why won't you do that? Why she can't do that? I think they do a fairly good job of that, by the way. But the rest of the movie is just like a really taut cat and mouse thriller.
Yeah.
And Russell Crowe is playing to an 11 when it's like he didn't even see the 10. Like he didn't even see that there was a 1 through 10 to play a scene. He's just like, I'm going straight to 11, baby. I'm just going whatever comes after nothing. Or like the worst. The worst guy in the world, I'm playing it one level above that guy. And he's ruthless and sadistic. And it's surprising that you can be surprised, but I was legitimately surprised a couple times. I don't know about you.
Yeah, there are some really, really intense moments in this film where I was kind of gripping my armrest. I don't know what's going to happen. This is so intense and exciting. And the chase between the two of them and him just constantly coming up, like, how did you manage to do this? And Aaron's right. They do explain how this works. And it makes sense. Like, it's not so far removed from reality where I can actually see something like this happening. And they open the film with a bunch of crazy, crazy clips, I assume, from reality.
Yeah, basically showing you. Yeah, every time you think that this thing wouldn't happen, here you go. Here's a little snippet.
Here's a bunch of them, yeah, that show that this could definitely happen. And I don't know. I left the film never wanting to experience my road rage again. I'm afraid to honk. I definitely am more secure about my surroundings and the people I encounter, because you never know who's having a way worse day than you. And that was something that I kind of took away from it, was like, You have no idea. Your day may feel like it sucks, and it probably does suck to you, but there is somebody who's having a way worse day than you, mm-hmm. and your day could always get worse. So don't honk at people.
And don't do road rage. I mean, learn how to check yourself. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. Exactly. So if $10 full price of admission, what do you give Unhinged?
I might give it $6.50.
I give it $7. It was like full-blooded audience pumping thriller, man.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Now. Sorry, that's my Batman voice. Let's talk about the theater.
That was creepy, you like and it? Not in a good Batman way.
Oh, that's like my Russell Crowe voice then. One of those two.
that's more accurate.
Let's talk about going back to the theater. What was it like for you? Tell me about your experience going the first time. I mean, was it okay. If it was different? I don't. If it was pretty much the same,
it was. I had two different experiences in two different towns. So the first experience was to see Unhinged. Unhinged was the movie that I went back to the theaters for. And again, like I said, that's the perfect movie to go back to the theater for because of the intensity of it.
Yeah.
And I was not... Okay, so I'll be honest. Everybody wore their mask into the theater and walking around and stuff. I was surprised that more people didn't keep it on throughout the movie. But I also... know that you're allowed to take it off when you're eating and stuff. So it's not like I was just staring at people like, put on your mask, put your mask on. So it could have just been in the moments where they're drinking or something. So that part was fine.
You didn't want to be a Karen?
Yeah, I don't want to be a Karen. And the concessions process, which was awesome, and the ticketing process, like the movie theaters themselves have everything down so well. I used my AMC A-list. So I come in, I kind of get to actually pass the lines because they just have the greeter there who scans your barcode on your phone. Mm-hmm. They have a plexiglass between you and them, and they're super kind. And they scan it through. I don't get a ticket. I just get to go in, and I get to go to my theater. I had pre-ordered my tickets and my concessions, so then I just go to the pickup area for the concessions. Again, everybody is wearing masks, and they have your... order like bagged up, ready to go with your name on it, and it's taped so that way it's still secure. And so I got drinks and popcorn. The drinks had the cups in there, the lids, the straws, the popcorn itself, and then a side container with pre-filled salt and butter and napkins. So you literally are not touching anything except for when you go to the fountain machine. And even there, they have tons of wipes where they have signs everywhere, like wipe it down before and after. So, of course, you do that. And you're done. Like, then you just go to your movie and you go to your reserved seat. And they even have signs there. Like, if somebody is maybe a little bit closer to you than you thought you were going to be to them, mm-hmm. you can move your seat. Like, just because you're in that reserved seat, if you feel uncomfortable, you may move. And I thought that was great because... in my second showing, I did that.
Yep, I did too, my second showing. Oh, that's funny.
My second, and actually my first one too. There was somebody who, you know, they must have felt a little uncomfortable with their seat. So they had scooted over a little bit, which put them like directly in front of me. And how AMC does it is they block out the seats in front of you, next to you, and behind you. So mm-hmm. you have like your own little box, which is my dream, by the way.
Right. Like I've been wanting this my whole life. So I'm like, yes. I didn't want to say thank you, Corona, but part of me is like, thank you, Corona.
Yeah, right. And so I just scooted back a row and a little bit over. So that way I wasn't still sitting directly behind him out of courtesy for him and myself. And so that wasn't an issue. My second showing, I just scooted a little bit over to the right just because I felt like we were closer to the other person in our row than I expected, even though it was like three seats away. I was just like, I'm going to give a little bit more of a bumper. So my second screening, everybody wore masks through the whole movie, like the whole thing.
And you know what I found about that? So basically it was the same experience in a different city. Yours, one like completely like 50 miles apart, right? Didn't you tell me that?
Yeah.
Like 50 miles apart. So you had the same experience in both of those theaters, which, you know, because I know some people have been concerned, well, maybe one theater will get it right, but the rest of them won't pay attention. Well, you went to two different ones in different cities mm-hmm. and had the same experience.
Same thing, contactless masks. I did not see anybody complaining or being buttheads either. So that worked out for me. And honestly, like if you're very concerned about being around people, just use that ability to change your seat and just move away from everyone and you're fine. Like if somebody ended up getting seats in the same row as you and you don't like that, just go to another row, because these auditoriums are not filled to capacity by any means. I mean, there's a decent amount of people in there in terms of the first week back, mm-hmm. but it is not, I mean, they can't even sell. They're under like 30 to 40% capacity is their maximum.
Right.
So.
And they're doing that mostly intentionally, but on the same token, they probably wouldn't anyway, just because people are still, well, you know, trepidatious, a little reluctant. They're kind of coming back to it. And I'll be honest, like my biggest concern going in, I had very similar experiences, Amanda. When I was going back to it, my biggest concern was, you know what? I worry about the people that are going to be mask adverse, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to say that, but I get it bothers you. And if you have a health problem where it prevents you from wearing a mask for some reason, don't go to the movie theater. It's really that simple. I hate to say that, but I mean, fair is fair. No shirt, no shoes, no mask, no service. There's nothing really wrong with that. You know, nobody's rights are being lost. It's actually just being considerate of your fellow people. I'm totally okay with it.
Your mask protects me. My mask protects you.
Yeah. And it's really just, it's a minor inconvenience. But I did think, I'm like, well, 2 hours though, that could get a little grating wearing a mask.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have that problem at all. You just stop paying attention to it, really. Like, I just stopped even noticing it. So, and I did it twice, never felt like it was a cumbersome problem or irritating or anything else. And I will tell you this, and I'm only telling you this, I don't like to talk about my wife on the show because I don't, other than a joking manner, because she doesn't like it when I mention her. But I will mention this because she is in the camp where she was concerned. She's very concerned. You know my wife, Amanda, she's very concerned about everything.
And it's her right to be. Everybody has that right to be concerned.
I'm not knocking her at all.
I know you're not.
But the first time we were going to a movie, I was supposed to go with a friend of mine who bailed. And if you're listening, bitch, remember that.
So you can't do that to Aaron on the first night of movies.
I
know, right?
I was so excited. And a big portion of that was I didn't want to go with my wife the first time. Because I know how concerned she is. I kind of wanted to see how it was. And I'm not as concerned. So I wanted to see how it was. And if they were enforcing the protocols they talked about. Or if she just would have a miserable time. Because she would be too worried about what was going on.
Which then would affect your experience too. Because you'd be worried about her.
I mean, I don't want to say it. But yeah, totally. It would totally ruin my experience. So, you know, there's two reasons why I wanted to go with the bitch who didn't show up. And the night of the said person couldn't make it. You know who you are. And so my wife didn't want me to go by myself. So she's like, I'll go with you. And I'm like, well, you know, I can't promise you this thing's going to be all right. And I don't want to deal with you freaking out about it. You know, either way, I'm not leaving the theater. Like once I get there, I ain't going anywhere. She's like, no, I'll go. And I'll basically, you know, if something bothers her, she'd do whatever she had to do. We get there, went to the movie. Same thing as you. We had popcorn and pop ordered online. It was ready in our bag with the butter.
It was awesome.
In little containers. It was amazing. And I found out that I obviously put too much butter on because I put too many of those things on. And I'm like, that's too much butter. So I obviously don't need that much. Now I know.
I also didn't realize the salt was in there for a while. And so I was that annoying person who in the theater is like rummaging through my bag trying to find the salt. Like maybe I missed it and found out it was in like the prepackaged, like the little baggy things so that you tear the paper apart to open it. So my bad.
Okay, fair enough. So from that point on, we got in. You know, it was a great experience. We had movie trailers, yes, and watched The Empire Strikes Back and then left. And she had no concerns. Like she was not worried about going back for Unhinged. She actually felt pretty good about it. And then on the second movie, same experiences went great. No problem. It was a completely different date and time. Like before it was at night, this was in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So different crowds.
Same here. Yeah.
Very similar circumstances. We did have two people behind us that seemed to be of the mask-averse nature. they didn't want to wear those. It was painfully obvious. And she did feel uncomfortable then. Well, then we got up and moved down the aisle and she was fine. So she had no problems because that was an option. And I think all of these little things that they have make a difference. You know, I mean, yeah, I don't want people coming in and fighting with moviegoers. I think it was kind of, you're part of the problem why we can't have these things open if you won't do it when they tell you you have to. I didn't like that, but on the same token, I'm glad I could just move down the aisle and not have to deal with it myself. Yeah. Everybody else was wearing a mask, fine. But, you know, of course, there has to be one couple who's going to show the world that they didn't need to or whatever. I'm like, then don't come. It's really that simple.
I laughed a little earlier when you were talking about how you stop noticing the mask after a little while when you're watching a movie, because during Inception, this happened twice. I had pulled down my mask for a second because I was going to get ready to grab the drink, but then something happened and my eyes were just completely fixated and I didn't pull it down all the way. So when I went to go grab my drink, I was like, it like caught on the mask. Because I was just not paying attention. I was like, oh, the mask is still there. I can't drink.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I also, I guess I should mention, I can't believe I'm at a place where I have to talk about going to the restroom. But I did use restroom as well.
Oh, me too.
Which they, you know, I'm not going to tell you what I did in there. I just peed. It's okay. Don't freak out. But they did the same thing, kind of like a Walmart line, where you come in one way and you exit the other. Everything was basically touchless. I can't remember if the faucets were touchless. I can't remember, but they
the faucets are touchless, and they also at least for mine, and I'm pretty sure all AMCs operate that way. But they also, for the ones I was at, they turned off the hand dryer, so it was just paper towels that automatically come out. So they're touchless too. So you don't have to like turn the dial thing. So you get to dry your hands, wash them, dry them. No doors. It's just walkway. It's seamless.
Worked great, right? No problem. And so the one thing I got from both of those visits was this. I felt, and it's not because it's just a movie theater, and I'm sure people are listening like, yeah, it's just because you've been wanting the movie theaters open forever. You would think. But honestly, after the first time, that little nostalgic thrill is gone. Now it's just about whatever I'm doing at that moment. It's not just I'm so excited to be here. It's just, well, now it's, you know, compared to everything else I do throughout the day. I go to the grocery store. I go to gas stations, retail stores, that sort of thing. Didn't feel any different to me. And actually, I felt a little safer because it seemed like they were going through a lot more cleaning procedures and whatnot than I've ever seen in a movie theater. I mean, it's the cleanest it's ever been.
Mm-hmm. But the retail store, I feel
much more unsafe because I'm constantly walking by people. I'm constantly next to people who just refuse to accommodate anybody else's concerns. Like they just don't care. So people are taking their masks off even when they say they don't have, like they're just constantly doing that stuff. So in terms of being concerned, I am far more concerned in those environments than I was in that theater.
Yeah, same here. And I think what's also important is people know that they're going to have to wear a mask to go to the movies. And the movie theaters are very strict about it. I mean, every employee is wearing them. There's less employees and less people overall. So I did not encounter other people, but like maybe one time. And everybody was very accommodating in terms of like waiting and walking backwards or stopping. So that way somebody else could walk and you would have appropriate distance. I've never seen that anywhere else I go. Nowhere. So I feel like the people who are going to the movie theaters and understand what the rules and restrictions are, they're the ones who, for the most part, are willing to accommodate others and can be considerate to it. And the people that, you know, if they don't like masks and they're like, I'm just not going to wear a mask.
Which I get it.
They're probably not going to be at the theater.
I don't like them either. Like, I mean, I don't know anybody that really loves them. You know, I mean, you just do it because it's considerate of other people, whether you agree with it or not. And a lot of it is it's policy. Okay. I mean, if it's your store, it's your environment, it's your policy. If I don't like it, I don't go.
Tell you something about what a mask is super great for?
Sure.
Because this happened to me.
Okay.
My mask, I was in an environment where you could have your mask lowered and somebody ripped ass. I said, who ripped ass? Nobody in my party ripped ass. So I put my mask on. Suddenly, I don't smell it anymore. Beautiful. Wonderful. This thing really does work.
I think okay. Is that a scientific test? I don't know if it is, but it feels like it.
It worked for me. I was like, thank you, goodness. I have this mask. Let me just put it over and I won't smell
it. You know what they say about it? Who smelt it? So
I had not dealt it, or I would admit it.
Well, that's cool. Don't drink. So I personally went through two experiences with the theaters, and I know that they're just now coming back, and people are very nervous. Some people are very nervous. Some people are not at all. You know, there's some people out there who just would go screaming through a crowd and, you know, because that's how not worried they are. I'm not one of those people. It's a very real thing, the coronavirus. I'm not playing it down at all. On the same token, this is a personal opinion. I feel like we're at the point in life where we have to learn to live with it, which means you need to figure out what it is that is valuable to you, what is important to your sanity, and make those decisions accordingly. And then if mm-hmm. you have people that are possibly in the danger zone of what coronavirus really deeply affects, then show concern for those people and maybe avoid those people if you do those things that are considered dangerous. But in terms of the theater experience, I did not feel unsafe at any point. And I take it very seriously because my parents are elderly. So I don't think they'd want me saying that word, but they are. And I take it very seriously. I don't want to have a reason that I can't be anywhere near them. And I always stay 6 feet away during this whole thing anyway. But I don't see them nearly as much as I would like already. So I am very cautious about the things that I do, because if I have an opportunity to spend time with them, I want to be able to. You don't know how many years you have left, you know, at all times. You don't know what's going to happen with anybody.
Yeah.
So it's just something where I take it very seriously. And I believe what I saw showed that they are taking it very seriously, that they are trying to make people feel comfortable, because trust me, they want to be open just as much as people that love movies want them to be open, if not more. That's their business. That's their livelihood. They want to do whatever it takes to make sure that you're... And I had this question come up, Amanda, and I just thought I wanted to see how you felt about it. Somebody asked me,
okay,
because, you know, on the internet, you say you had a great time in a theater, and there's always that person that has to try to make you feel bad about it. that's where we're in. You know, everybody's got the strength of their own opinion outweighs your joy. So, and somebody threw in there, I don't know how you could go and have a great time, you know, shame on you. I mean, how could you feel good about being in a place run by basically teenagers, is basically what they said. And one person said something like this, but said it very nicely. And another person just said it very, very asshole-ish. And my response was, every retail store I go into and restaurant I go into is run by teenagers primarily. So I don't know what your point is. Now, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, I get what they're trying to aim for, but you kind of solidified this earlier when you said how much safer you felt in the theater. I felt like, so I've gone to eat-in restaurants, I've been outdoor restaurants, I've been to the grocery store, and I've been to the bowling alley for league bowling. This is about the extent of my experiences since March. Mm-hmm. And none of them have had comparable... Not to say that they weren't doing what was required, but the movie theaters seem to be going above and beyond in terms of accommodation and making it as contactless as possible in ways that other places aren't able or do not do. So I think it just depends on the people in your area and the leadership that they have. If they have good leadership, they're going to take proper protocols seriously, and public health concerns and potential business fines very seriously, because those people want to be there working. Even if they are young, they still have bills to pay. And I can only speak from my experiences and the people that I know, but the majority of the people that were working young were often helping support their whole family and themselves, even though traditionally you don't. So those people want to be working right now. They need to be working. So they're going to do what they need to do the best that they can. But it really comes from the leadership. If your leadership is guiding you in a way that says this is important and serious, that we take it seriously, your lower level management and your staff are going to do the same thing. If you have leadership that says, screw it, doesn't matter, not a big deal, they're going to follow by that example. So I think it varies business to business. And I've seen full-on grown adult businesses, no teenagers, who do not take it seriously and in result have almost no protocol, at which point, sayonara, you know what I mean? So I try not to think of it as being ageist because it's kind of what that comment is.
I've seen all ages do that, honestly. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, it's not about your age.
And don't get me wrong, if you feel that way, I'm not knocking you at all. I'm just saying you can't go to the movie theater right now. If that's your right, but it's their right too. It's their business. It's not yours. It's not ours. So don't go. If you can stomach the mask, which I'm telling you, I really wasn't bothered at all once I sat down. You know, I thought it really would be a problem. It wasn't a problem at all once I sat down. And, you know, you just grow accustomed to it. I'm not worried about teens because I've seen much more problematic adults than I have teenagers, to be perfectly honest. So, yeah, I'm fine with it.
Because, but everybody has their own comfort level.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Whatever you're comfortable with. But I'm telling you from my experience, and I'm speaking from my wife's experience, who is somebody who's very concerned about it. She was comfortable enough to go back and to look forward to going back. So that's how comfortable she felt. And especially the pickup, like that pickup section, like all the stuff works in my benefit. Like, I love this. Like, you can't, people can't sit right next to me. Love it. I get to pick up my popcorn. I don't have to sit here and, you know, be very close to a bunch of dopes.
You don't have to wait in line. They also limited their concessions menu, so that way they're able to focus on like the importance of sanitizing and doing everything with proper protocols.
Yeah, that part was a bit of a bummer. I'll be honest. I wanted some chicken strips and I couldn't get them. Like,
Me too.
Why not?
You can't get pretzels right now either, but you can get like movie nachos and stuff like that. I mean, I get it. They're just trying to manage everything and do it slowly. And I respect that business model of reopening and trying to do it in your own phases. So, but it worked. And I agree. If you hate people, this is the process for you.
Right? It's just, and I'm just like, why can't I get chicken tenders, man? I mean, they deep fry all the corona out of them. There's no corona left. I promise you. It's been boiled to death. Oh, but it is what it is. You know, that's what we got to work with while we can. And this was just kind of an episode just to both talk about DC fandom, which I didn't think we would talk about that much, but we did. And also talk about our experience going back to the movies. So people that were wondering but didn't really want to get too close had an idea. And I do want to point out, like, the National Association for Theater Owners, as well as all the chains and whatnot, have also implemented air filtration updates so that all HVAC systems should be in working order. So that helps with the ventilation. And employees have to go through certain health training now so they understand how transmissions work. There's a lot more cleaning going on, mobile ticketing, you know, all of these factors came into play. I didn't even talk about the ticketing. I didn't touch a ticket. I never got a ticket. I
was a little sad that I didn't, but it worked for this circumstance.
Because I collect them. So it was just kind of like,
yeah, me too.
I'm bummed. But I got it. Everything was like, just show them your phone and boom, you're in. A-List works great for AMC if you're a fan. So it's, yeah, check it out.
Definitely. Oh my gosh, let me say this too, because I forgot to say this. So I have gone to so many places that are like, we follow protocols, get your sanitizer and your hand wipes. And it's like covered in filth or they're out of stock of them. Like, there's just no wipes left. I was very impressed. Everything was super, super clean everywhere in the theaters, both of them. And there was always wipes like everywhere. Like sanitizing wipes, they at least AMC partnered with Clorox. So I know it's not like some janky, you know, they took a bunch of paper towels and put some bleach on it or whatever. And they had hand sanitizer. I mean, everything, everywhere. So I was like, oh, okay, good. I need a wipe and it's right next to me.
Yeah, man, I couldn't go anywhere without seeing a wipe. I was getting a little concerned. I'm like, what am I in, a bubble? It was very odd to walk everywhere and not see wipes and hand sanitizer. I'm just like, this is kind of a little bit of my dream. I'm a germaphobe, people. So I'm walking around going, you know how far I usually have to walk before I come across hand sanitizer in the world?
Hospitals don't even have this much.
They do not.
Hand wipes.
Take it from a true germaphobe. They do not. It was beautiful. It's a thing of beauty. I love it. I love it. All right. Well, I think that's it on the whole movie going experience. And you've got New Mutants coming out and you've got Tenet coming out. I think we've got a lot to be excited for as movie fans. So what would you tell people about going to the movie theater? Do you feel comfortable? How comfortable on a scale of 1 to 10, on a scale of 1 to Russell Crowe, where do you rate your comfort level with going to a theater right now?
So Russell Crowe is not 1?
He's 11.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Apparently now he's always at 11.
I don't think I'll ever feel 100% comfortable no matter where, because you're always taking a risk of any sort of transmission, but especially coronavirus right now. But I would say that I'm sitting at like a solid, probably 8.5. Like it fits my comfort level. And I feel like I'm safe enough from other people, and I'm able to protect them from, you know, if I'm asymptomatic, I don't have any symptoms and don't realize it sort of thing. I feel comfortable in that respect. And I feel like they're doing everything possible to try to keep some sense of normalcy and, you know, like you said, sanity for people who need it right now. And also weighing that with the risks out there. So maybe a 9, because I can never be 100%.
I didn't say like how safe it, like there's going to be germs no matter where you go or what you do.
In terms of evaluating their processes, they get a 10.
Well, I will tell you this. I did have many discussions over the weekend about, because I love when people tell me that I don't understand the risk of coronavirus if I'm willing to go to the movie theater. Meanwhile, they're going to restaurants and also bars. So I'm just like, okay. I mean, you keep telling yourself that, but you know, now that I've been there, I can safely feel personally, I was at probably a 5. Like I didn't know what to expect. As long as they keep up the things that they're doing currently, I'm at an 11. I'm a Russell Crowe. I feel fine and
so
safe.
So you're super extra and ready to destroy someone's whole life.
Man, okay. I can almost promise you, if any germs came by me, they didn't, I don't know where they would have hidden, because I was so far away from people. It was the most people-free experience I've had in a movie theater in a long time.
Oh, the best part. I never saw a single phone.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Not at all. Not a single phone. I did not hear a phone. I did not see a phone. It was literal bliss.
So are you trying to correlate the lack of people wanting to wear a mask to the people that use the phone during the movie? Are you trying to say that to the same people?
It's possible, because correlation does not equal causation. So I'm not saying that it's a direct cause, but I'm saying that there's an upward trajectory where they align.
Whatever works, I'll take it. So basically we're saying, I don't want to tell you what to do. Just, you heard what we said. If you feel comfortable, make your own informed decision. Just don't be the person that refuses to do it because you want to set a precedent. Because those are the people that are going to ruin it for the people that want to keep going. We don't need that. We don't need that. Just follow the rules. That's all you got to do. And have a great time. The next time, which I can finally say and actually mean it now, the next time you go to a theater, buy popcorn.
To see New Mutants with 12-year-olds.
Well, now you're just making it more disease-ridden. now I can't trust it at all.
No,
anymore.
Not like with 12-year-olds. Like the people in the movie are 12-year-olds at this point.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Whew, that's better. I don't want to watch anything with kids right now. I think kids should have to wear like Halloween masks, like full-on face masks.